I want to be back in the middle of a broken heart. This guy is a dude. He's a dude. Look at those teeth. Look at that face. You can't. It's radio. You muppet. From Cleveland, Ohio, via Detroit, Michigan, Motor City, which is why his Christmas song is suitable. Another lonely Christmas in the Motor City. The very fine Angelo Starr. Hello, Angelo.
Hi, Bernie. How you doing?
See, dude, you sound like a dude. I sound like a turkey farting in the fog now compared with your voice.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Now, you claim in your new song that we're going to play in 10 minutes that you have been, oh, so good this year. Have you really, though?
Have
you sure? Are you sure you've been? Because if I looked like you, I wouldn't be oh so good. I'm telling you now.
Wait a minute. You're trying to get my Santa gift taken away from me.
That halo's slipping, baby. It's slipping. So did you live in Detroit? Because you're Cleveland, Ohio, yeah?
Yeah, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. But I spent my summers with Edwin in Detroit, Michigan, when he was signed to Motown. And so that became my second home, so to speak. I was there for months and months at an end when I was in school, and I got a chance to soak up the atmosphere and kind of, you know, hardworking, hard playing atmosphere. But Detroit and the Motor City wasn't that different from Cleveland anyway, because we were a steel town as well. So the two were closely related in terms of how the people, you know, tried to get better as themselves. You know, they worked hard during the day in the factories and so forth, and then in the evening they cleaned themselves up and went and pursued their other dreams. So that Cleveland and Detroit had in common.
And it's also Cleveland, it was kind of a stopover point, wasn't it? Effectively, you were living in Watford Gap. It was the point between Detroit and New York, wasn't it? So artists would be traveling on tour, and then it would be a stopover point.
Absolutely, you know, and as well as Chicago, you know, there's a motorway, major motorway that runs east to west across country. And so all of the musical artists of the day would stop in Cleveland and Detroit along their way between New York and Chicago. And, you know, we saw everybody from rock and roll artists, which is why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland now. We saw everybody from, you know, from the Rolling Stones to the Who to, you know, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas to, you know, just about everybody came through there, no matter what type of music they were doing. And that's why, you know, it was a really great melting pot to be a part of.
Your brother was very much in the James Brown, Otis Redding, Jackie Wilson mold, in that he left it all on stage. He didn't come off with anything, did he? He left it all on stage. Would you sit in the wings and watch him?
Certainly. You know, that was my first exposure to the entertainment world as a live thing. Of course, I had lots of music around the house. My mother, my father, they love, you know, all of the artists from their era. But in terms of performance, you know, one of the first artists I saw perform on a regular basis was my brother Edwin. And it was a great learning process for me, because once I started to see other artists, I could kind of contrast what they were doing to what he had been doing, as far as I could see. And to be honest with you, I'll give you a little funny story. When I was very young, he had a song, Agent 00 Soul, out. And there was a routine that he would do where when the song started to play and he was introduced on stage, there was a young person dressed up in an outfit that eventually would be the outfit that he came out on stage in. So when they announced Edwin Starr, there would be this little person. You could hear the audience gasp, like, that can't be him. And in some instances, it was me dressed.
You were the
as
little
him.
Person. I love it.
I was a little person. And then when he eventually came out, you know, dressed exactly the same. It was show business before the time when you had all the lights and the dancing girls and so forth. You had to create something that was of interest from what you had available to you. And that was one of the things that he did and how I got involved.
So what's the age difference, Angelo, between you and your brother?
You know, I don't know if I've actually calculated it, but he was the eldest in the family, and I was the youngest. And in fact, I'm actually older now than he was when he passed away.
Is
So
that right? Yeah, that pulls
it's
you
a
up sharp,
strange.
doesn't it? Whenever you realize that kind of stuff, it does pull you up sharp, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
And
But
his music became your music, did it? The music that he was playing around the house, that was what you soaked up.
yes, it did. You know, because obviously with artists like Jackie Wilson and, you know, Otis Redding, as you said, and, you know, the Four Tops and others, the things that he was listening to became a part of the collection that I had access to when he wasn't around. You know, in addition to that, I had people like Johnny Taylor from my mother's and father's era. The music. And I had another sister, sibling, and brother who were between Edwin and I. So all of their music collection eventually became my music collection as well. And because Edwin had traveled a lot to Europe, you know, that exposed me to artists from over here, Elton John, I just everybody, you
Yeah.
know, David Bowie, you know, Rod Stewart. You know, there were a lot of influences in the home. And all of those things trickle in somehow into what you're doing. When I eventually started playing guitar myself, then of course I had the influences of the live bands and stuff during that era, like the Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Rick James, and Prince, and you know the Jacksons, and you know Slave, and you know they were all the Heat Wave and all the show bands and things like that, and those. Some of them became competitors to the band that I was in at the time. And, in fact, you know, many of those artists went on to have quite successful careers in their own right, which I was very proud of. Like Hometown does well. And, that kind of led me on my journey. But to be honest with you, Bernie, I kind of sidestepped being in the music industry for a little while because. You know, I never wanted people to think just because my brother was Edwin Starr that I was there to ride on his coattail.
Yeah, it's
So
hard for siblings and for children, isn't it? We're thinking of John Lennon today, of course. And it's tough for
yes.
people like Julian and for Sean. And there was a little club, Natalie Cole would speak to them regularly, Nancy Sinatra, the same. It's tough, isn't it? When you want to do the same thing as a relative and they've been so great, it's hard to emerge from that
It is
shadow.
very hard. Yes, it is very hard because, you know, they the person that you love is not only, you know, a talent in the world for other people, it's also your sibling or your parent or your brother and sister, you know, your husband or wife, you know, it's all of those things. So the competition that would exist in some people's mind wouldn't necessarily exist within the mind of you and that person. You know, for us, it was always about, it was like a family business. I guess if he had been running a Chinese restaurant, I might have become a I might have become a cook. But as it turned out, he was in the music business and it kind of drew me in that way.
You know, Bruce Springsteen, who of course did a cover of Your Brother's War, he's just done a covers album, Bruce, and he does Frank Wilson's Do I Love You? Indeed I Do. And he was explaining it to an American audience because they don't know that song. It was a Motown song, as you know, but it tanked in America, so they don't know it. And he's been explaining on the talk shows what Northern Soul is. Well, your brother was Northern Soul at the start of it. You are Northern Soul. It's why he stayed here, isn't it? It's why you now work here. You're pivotal to the Northern Soul movement.
You know, it is one of those things that sometimes people know the music, but they don't know the label that's been associated with it. And it is, you know, it is a very unique community in that the people know more about the music than
Yeah.
just about any musical community that exists.
And it is a community. It's like a proper way of life. People don't just buy the records, they live it, don't they?
Oh, yes. You know, I'm always amazed when we go to do live performances and someone comes up and they quote, you know, a record either of mine or others that wouldn't necessarily have been commercial successes, but, you know, they know everything about it, where it was recorded, who it was recorded with, who produced it, you know, what day it was done, sometimes what you were wearing when you were in the studio doing it, you know. But, and I am very enamored to that. because for someone to take the time out of their day to be so interested in something that you're doing, you know, shows that they have not only a love for the art that you're trying to create, but for you as a person. And that's an amazing thing.
And your soul music, Angelo, your brand of it, it's very different from Beyoncé's R&B, from Grime, from Drill, from Kendrick Lamar. Has it been straightforward keeping a niche? Because in many ways, it's current, of course, but it's also old school.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy because, you know, every generation has their mark that they want to make on the world. And because I've been a musician as well as an artist, you know, I have to keep my ears open, of course. You know, in the early days of being in the UK, I was one of the operators and in-house engineer for a hip-hop label. Now, people wouldn't necessarily know me as being a hip-hop engineer or producer, but I did that to make sure that I stayed connected to the music scene. I was fortunate enough to play guitar for Alexander O'Neal for 14 years, so that kept me connected to an R&B scene of that generation. I've been a musician with people like Lamar in the UK, soul artists doing things throughout the 2000s and later. And, you know, so all of these things kind of have a way of at least keeping your eyes open to what's going on around you. But I'm also conscious of the fact that there is a very important need to have a connection to where we've come from, you know? And I feel that soul music, and in particular this Northern soul music, does that because a lot of the artists were not celebrated in their own moment. They got discovered later, and only now are some of the people who recorded things in during those times being celebrated in the way that they perhaps should have been then.
That's why they call it keeping the faith. It's amazing, really. And Northern Soul is Stompers and Ballads. Another Lonely Christmas sounds like a stomper to me, Angelo.
Well, I hope it, you know, it feels a need. It's very difficult with all of the Christmas songs that already exist to find a new one that can carve out a little special place in people's hearts and minds and become a part of their history. But I'm hopeful with this one because it does have a good feel to it. And I think it has something to say that contributes to people's journey along the way. It has the Motor City in the title.
It's got the Motor City. Yeah, another Lonely Christmas in the Motor City. It's now out on digital platforms. All of them, you can find it via One Media, Motor City. And I'm picturing, obviously it's radio, we can't see you from your voice. I'm picturing you reclining on a heart-shaped bed in satin sheets. You're wearing a gold and black dressing gown that's open, showing a bit of chest. You've got some gold round your neck and you're just kicking back. Am I right?
Well, it sounds very good. It's not the not exactly
not
the case, but
not
I'll take
case.
That.
Okay.
I'll take it. Me, I'll take over for Barry White. Then.
There you go. That's what we want from our soul boys. That's what we want. We wish you a happy Christmas, Angelo. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Barry.
It's another Lonely City in the Motor City.
Oh,
all you need for Christmas is there. He's a nice man. He's got a great voice too. You can download it. It's out now. Put on your phone. Another Lonely Christmas in the Motor City. Angelo Starr.